Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's February the 14th. We are in Malachim Beis. Now, we finished Perek Tezvav, chapter 15, and we really are prepared to go further. However, I'm going to take a session tonight to do something which I debated whether to do it or not, but I feel that now is the time to do this, even though we're going to have this shiur all over again in another context. And that's the following. I want to go through the Treyasar. I want to go through where each of the people... Treyasar is 12 Nevi'im. I want to go through them and where they stand in terms of Malachim. Because right now we're learning Malachim, we're throwing in Divrei Hayamim. We already spoke a little bit about Yeshayahu the past couple of weeks. If we don't do anything with Treyasar now, so then when Mitzvah Hashem we ever get to Treyasar, at that point we won't be, so to speak, holding in Malachim. We're not going to remember anything from Malachim. So it's very hard to put them together. We're not going to learn Treyasar now. This would be the equivalent of an introduction to Treyasar. That's what I mean, we'll have to do it again. When we learn Treyasar Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to have this whole introduction again. But right now is when we're in Malachim, and we can at least place the Navim of Treyasar. So I want to do that this evening. Not just that, a few other things just to put in perspective of where everything stands, where the people stand historically, so we get a sense of what is going on. So I'm going to begin with putting down the names of the Treyasar on the board. Now, just a word about Treyasar. Treyasar means 12. It's Aramaic for 12. Treyasar is Shnei Masar. It's 12. That's what the word means. Sometimes they translate this as the 12 minor prophets, as if these Nevi'im are lesser Nevi'im than other Nevi'im, which is not so. Mm-hmm. The Treyasar are Nevi'im, and they're Nevi'im like any other Nevi'im. The reason why they're put together is because they're the 12 short Nevi'im, not minor, but short. Because they each of their Nevuahs are short, so they were put together into one Sefer. But it's 12 separate Nevi'im placed into one Sefer. So now, the Treyasar, I guess I'll put it in English. The Treyasar are Hosea, that's number one. Number two is Yoel. Number three is Amos. Number four is Ovadia. Number five is Yonah. Number six is Micha. Number seven is Nahum. Number eight is Habakkuk. I really want to get this on one column. Habakkuk. Number nine is Zephaniah. Number 10 is Haggai. Number 11 is Zechariah. And number 12 is Malachi. Now those are your 12 of the Treyasar. Now they are roughly in chronological order, but not completely. They're roughly in chronological order. Now, they're all pretty much clear when they lived, with the exception of Yoel, which there is a significant disagreement about when he lived, when Yoel lived. But we'll get to that. Now, Malachi, according to many opinions, and Rashi is one of them, is Ezra. Same person. So, and when you want to place where Malachi lived, he lived at the beginning, at the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is Ezra. Ezra was the one who led the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so there you have the 12 of them. Now, we're dealing with Malachim. So we're not going to put down all the kings, and we're not going to, because that's just too much information. But to give a sense, so we know that in the Malachim we have David. We'll start with David. And then we have, after David, we'll put a line to show that we're skipping some generations. We'll put down, let's skip to Yehoshaphat. And from Yehoshaphat, let's do the most recent ones that we've done. So let's do Yehoash, and here we're going to just go in order because they're not, now we're not going to skip any generations. So after Yehoash comes Amatsiah, then comes Uzziah, and then comes Yosam. Okay, so we have them. Now, we haven't done yet these Yosam, so far these are all tzaddikim. Yosam's son is Achaz, who's going to be a big rasha. And after Achaz comes the great Chizkiyahu. Mm-hmm. So we'll skip a little bit to Chizkiyahu. After Chizkiyahu comes the Rasha Menashe, not to be confused with the Menashe who is one of the Shvatim, but a king named Menashe who is a Rasha. And then after him comes a few more kings. We have Yoshiyahu, who is a great tzaddik. We'll put him down. That's almost at the end of the first base. I mean, that's just Yoshiyahu. Now, Yoshiyahu has three sons, of which there is the first one to become king is Yehoyakim. Following him is his son Yechaniah. I'm putting that down on purpose because that's going to be in the Megillah. So Yechaniah. And then following Yechaniah, this is the only time this ever happens, is his uncle, not his son. His uncle, known as the brother of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, is the last king, and that is Tzidkiyahu. Okay. So those are your kings from David HaMelech. Now, on the other side, we also have the Yisrael kings, who are mostly Rishayim. Now, here we're certainly not going to go through all of them, but to put down just a few, we have Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam. I have to put ben Nevat because there are fewer Yeravams. Mm-hmm. We have Yeravam ben Nevat. And there's a few other ones. Basha, and as you go down, his dynasty, and then eventually you have Achav, and his dynasty, as you have Achav, and then we have the dynasty of Yehu ben Nimshi. And last time, we had all kinds of... We had whole progression of changing dynasties amongst the Yisrael kings. Still not. Anyway, so we had a whole bunch of changed dynasty last time. As the Aseres HaShvatim, the ten tribes almost came to an end. They're going to end in the day of Chizkiyahu. That's when they're going to end, right around there. Is when they're going to get taken into Gaul. So it's a process, but they're done by the time you get to Chizkiyahu, they're finished. Now, Yehu ben Nimshi has four children. We learned about them. Yehoachaz, Yoash, Yeravam, and Zechariah. Those are the four sons of Yehu ben Nimshi. As he gets four generations on the throne of Yisrael. So And then we learned how that started to change. How his family got killed out. The next one came in, etc. Okay. Now, in addition to all of this, another thing to keep in mind is the other Nevi'im that are on the scene. So in David's day, we have Nasan HaNavi, and we have, well, we really start with Shmuel HaNavi, even before David. We have Shmuel HaNavi, and in David's day, we have Nasan HaNavi and Gad HaNavi. You have different Nevi'im on the scene. For our purposes, we want to keep in mind Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to put him over here. Elisha HaNavi. Put him over here. And we also want to put down over here, Yeshayahu. Okay. And then we want to skip even further down, and we want to put down Yirmiyahu. And Yechezkel. Okay. I'm even going to add, but it's going to be way at the bottom, because it's past Sidkiyahu. I'm even going to add Mordechai. It doesn't even feel that far down. Okay, Mordechai. Just because he lives a long time. So we'll put that Mordechai. Okay. So, again, the purpose of this is to give us a sense of what is going on, of where things belong. Okay. So, the reason why this is significant is because the Navi tells us that we have gotten to the King Yosam. That's really what we're holding. We've gotten to the King Yosam. He dies, and he's going to be succeeded by his son. We've gotten in the Malchus Yisrael down to around here also. So, we're here. Yeshayahu has already hit the scene, as we know. So the Navi tells us there are four Nevi'im that are on the scene at this time. Yeshayahu is one of them. The other three are Hosea, Amos, and Micha. Hosea, Amos, and Micha, and Yeshayahu are all on the scene at the same time. Those four are on the scene at the same time. And they span many kings. Let me read to you from the first pasuk of Treyasar, which is the first pasuk in Hosea. And the pasuk tells us, Divar Hashem Hashal Haya El Hosea Ben Be'eri Bimei, in the days of Uziah, so he lives during Uziah's time, Yosam, Achaz, who's the next king, and Yechizkiah, that's Chizkiyahu, Malcha Yehuda. So during these four kings, that's when Hosea is there. Ubimei Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael. And in the days of Yeravam ben Yoash, I should put down where Yeravam ben Yoash fits, on the board, under Yehu, we have Yehoachaz. These are the four of his. Yehoachaz. Yehoachaz, Yoash, Yeravam. This is a different Yeravam, obviously. And then Zechariah, right? I believe his name was Zechariah. Was it the last king of? Yeah, Zechariah. He's the last one. He's the least famous, but he's the last one of the Zechariah. Okay. Now, I'm going to underline those four Nevi'im. The four Nevi'im are Hosea, Amos, Micha, and Yeshayahu. Those are the four Nevi'im that are around during the days of Yeravam. I'll put that. What should we do about that? I guess I'll put a line under those kings, even though, let's move this down a little bit. Let's just move that away. Okay, so they are around during Yeravam's reign, during Uziyahu, during Yosam, I skipped Achaz, but he's there too, and during Chizkiyahu's reign. So Hosea, Amos, Micha, Yeshayahu span these kings. The Navi says, Tchilas Dvar Hashem b'Hosea. The beginning of the words of Hashem and Hosea. The Chazal tell us Hosea was the first of these four. Of Hosea, Amos, Yeshayahu, and Micha, Hosea comes first. Now we learned already, last week and 2 weeks ago, that Yeshayahu's first nevuah came when? This is very important. What was his first nevuah? Remember we talked about?
Yeah.
It's when he's...
About not having the same punishment.
Okay.
For having the taking the.
Okay, so his nevuah was when there was that earthquake, the ra'ash, that earthquake, because the ground wanted to swallow up.
Right.
Who did it want to swallow?
Wanted to swallow Yosam.
Not Yosam. No, good guess. And wanted to swallow
Uzziahu.
Because Uzziahu is the one who tried to take the kahuna.
Right,
at that point there was
right.
Now remember, I told you that earthquake becomes a landmark event. Things are dated based on that earthquake. It's called the Ra'ash. So at that time, that is when Yeshayahu had his first nevuah, when Uzziahu got Saras. That was his first nevuah. Amos, the pasuk tells us, got nevuah for the first time 2 years prior to the Ra'ash. So Amos precedes Yeshayahu by 2 years. And Hosea is the first of those four. So the order is Hosea, Amos, Yeshayahu, and then Micha. Those are the four Nevi'im that live during this time. They're all during this time. During Uzziah's reign, Yosam's reign, I guess I'll put down Achaz. We may as well put him down because it's mentioned over here, so we'll put down Achaz. Achaz. And Chizkiyahu. And during Yeravam, the king of Israel. There, the Gemara speaks about, and we'll see about this when we learn in Mirtz Hashem, interactions between Yeshayahu and Chizkiyahu. Interactions between the two of them. In fact, at one point, Chizkiyahu asks to marry Yeshayahu's daughter. At one point that he asks for that marriage. So we have this, we have them at this time. So that's where you place three of the 12 of Treyasar go with Yeshayahu, and they're during this point where we are right now in Malachim. We actually just, we're in the middle of this era of these four primary Nevi'im during this time. Now, the Navi tells us that it was also during the reign of Yeravam ben Yoash. Now, Yeravam was a Rasha. So the Gemara asks, why is he listed? I understand why these were listed, because they are, except for Achaz, they are tzaddikim. Achaz is listed just because he's in the list of these kings. But why should Yeravam be listed? He was a Rasha. And anyway, Malchei Yisrael were generally Rishayim. So why should he be listed? So the Gemara tells us the reason why Yeravam is listed is because he did one thing that was a great act of tzidkus, of righteousness. What was that? That is, that in the days of Amos, which again is precedes Yeshayahu, in the days of Amos, the false Kohen, the Kohen of the Avodah Zarah of Shomron, of the Northern Kingdom, his name, just to confuse everybody, was Amatzia, different person. As we saw a lot of these names are cross, you know, you see them doubled and tripled. Amatzia, who's called Kohen Harosh, that he was the, but it was not a good Kohen. He was a Kohen of Avodah Zarah for the Northern Kingdom. Amatzia informed Yeravam that Amos was saying a nevuah that Yeravam would be destroyed, which was not true. He spoke Lashon Hara. Amatzia, that Avodah Zarah Kohen, spoke Lashon Hara about Amos to Yeravam. And Yeravam rejected the report. He was not mekabel the Lashon Hara. He didn't accept it. And because of that, he gets listed with these other kings. Even though he was not a good king, he did a lot of things that were wrong. But because he rejected the Lashon Hara of Amatzia, the false Kohen, about Amos, because of that, he got specially listed over here. That's what happened. We find, this is not the first time that we find, that being careful with Lashon Hara has the capacity of taking people who are Rishayim and giving them something special. It is a very powerful thing to be careful with Lashon Hara, whether speaking it or accepting it or listening to it. We already learned that Achav, in his day, won his wars, won his battles. The Gemara says, why did he win his battles? He was a Rasha. He worshipped Avodah Zarah. Why did he win his wars? His wife, Yezebel, was a murderess. I mean, she murdered people. Why should he win his wars? And the Gemara says, because they were careful with Lashon Hara. They did not speak about each other. We spoke about this at the time. We had a shiur about this. And how they were very careful not to talk about each other. So because they didn't talk about each other, there was a protection on the kingdom. And they won wars because of that. Here we find as well, Yeravam rejected Lashon Hara, therefore he gets special mention amongst the tzaddikim. Now, I want to touch on the other ones of the Tre'asar, because again, it will help us have perspective of what's going on in Malachim. So we already know where Ovadia stands. Ovadia, there is a debate about Yoel, which I'll tell you in a minute, but leaving Yoel out of the discussion, Ovadia would be the earliest of the Tre'asar. He's not in chronological order. When does Ovadia live? We learned about Ovadia. Achav. Okay. So Ovadia is in the same time as Achav, which is in the same time as Eliyahu. So Ovadia, does this work? Let's see. It does. Good. So Ovadia and Eliyahu go together. Ovadia is in the time of Eliyahu. And we learned that, remember, Elisha performed a miracle for Ovadia's widow with the oil. That was Ovadia's widow. But Ovadia himself was with Eliyahu. Yonah, we also already learned about, he was a younger student of Eliyahu HaNavi. Elisha was the primary student of Eliyahu HaNavi. Yonah was a younger student of Eliyahu HaNavi. And after Eliyahu HaNavi went away, he left this world, then Yonah became a Talmud of Elisha. So Yonah fits here with Eliyahu and Elisha. It means Yonah precedes Hoshea, Amos, and Micha. So, roughly, Ovadia is going to be the first, and Yonah is going to be the second of the Tre'asar. And then it's basically chronological order, the way we have it here, with the exception of Yoel. So Yoel, there's a debate whether Yoel goes with Nachum and Habakkuk, which I'll talk about in a minute. Does Yoel go with Nachum and Habakkuk? They go together, these two. Or is Yoel the son, or does Yoel go in the time of Elisha? Remember, we spoke about the great famine that was in Shomron, and we mentioned that there was a great famine spoken about by the Navi Yoel. So according to one opinion, Yoel would go in the time of Elisha. According to the other opinion, Yoel would go with Nachum and Habakkuk, which is after Hoshea, Amos, and Micha. So is Yoel essentially the same time as Yonah, maybe between Obadiah and Yonah? Or is Yoel down here with Nachum and Habakkuk? That's the debate about Yoel. It's a separate, it's a discussion.
How many years is that difference?
I can't place Nachum and Habakkuk so well yet. Okay. Nachum and Habakkuk live, I'll tell you in a minute. But anyway, it's I don't know how many years. Now, Nahum and Habakkuk, they are going to be later on in the... there's one more point I have to make to you about the other ones, but they're going to be later on in the days after Chizkiyahu. That's where Nahum and Habakkuk are going to go with the kings that come after Chizkiyahu. That's where Nahum and Habakkuk are going to go. So actually, where they are on the board fits nicely with where they go, somewhere lower down over here. Now, before I talk to you about the rest of them, let me just tell you one very important point Rashi makes. It's a Chazal, but Rashi tells us when it says over here that Hoshea lived during the years of Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, and Yechizkiah. Now, a king is king until he dies. That means that that Yeshayahu, or Hoshea, I should say, outlived four kings. He lived longer. His lifetime spanned four kings. So our sages say, Chazal say, Arba Malachim Halalu Kipeach Biyamav, that he outdid these four kings. Sheherech Shanim Bechaye Kulam, that he lived longer than all of them, or as same as all of them together. Mikan Amru, from here Chazal say, Oy la lirabonus, woe is it to Rabbonus. Rabbonus means leadership. Shemikaveres es bi'aleha, it buries its owner, its owners. Rabbonus is not a good thing. Being in charge of the country, being in charge of everybody, is not a good thing for longevity. The kings were always at risk of dying younger because of the fact that they were in Rabbonus, because they were in leadership. Now, I know that we refer to Rabbonus today as a shul rabbi. Not sure that it has the same implication. Rabbonus just means leadership. So even though the Nevi'im were leaders, but they were not, they didn't have authority. I would probably translate this as woe to authority. That's what I would say, because it buries those who have it. Authority is a dangerous thing. So the Nevi'im outlived, even though these kings Uzziah, Yosam, and Chizkiyahu were tzaddikim, but still the Nevi'im outlived them because it's dangerous to have authority. Yeah.
Does this have anything to do with bribes?
It could, in theory, but we don't know that they took bribes.
I just wondered if that's what it means to woe to authority, because they become very vulnerable, possibly, to the demands of the people.
It could mean that.
Deep pockets.
It could mean that, but again, we don't find that they took bribes. So, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam
Shehakol Nidre. Well, even say presidents age so much in office. Just
doing okay, could be. Could be just the pressures of the office. It could be. Could be.
So you're saying Yeshayahu was one who spent his
form? It says here Hoshea did, but Yeshayahu did also.
Okay.
Yeshayahu did as well. Yeshayahu was actually killed by Chizkiyahu's son, Menashe. So he starts in Uzziah's day. He goes even further. They outlive these kings. Okay, a couple more points about them is just, this is an interesting tidbit of information. The question is how literally to take it. Yoel, Rashi says, is the son of Shmuel. Shmuel has a son named Yoel. We do know that. The question is it the same person? Rashi says it's the same person.
Shmuel
Hanavi? Shmuel Hanavi. That would make Yoel, no matter where you place him, live a very long life. It doesn't matter whether you place him with Elisha or whether you place him even further down with Nahum and Habakkuk. Either way, you're talking about a good lot of years. Yeah, because Shmuel's way, way back.
Yeah.
Right. So some say that Yoel is, that's what Rashi says, that Yoel is Shmuel's son. Okay. Now, so again, so let's just review what we have so far. We have the first of the Treyasar is really Ovadia, who lives in Elio's time. Then could be that Yoel comes next, but we know that Yonah is around this time as well. And then come three other ones and Yeshayahu, and those are Hoshea, Amos, and Micha. They are with Yeshayahu, and they are in the time of these kings in the middle here that we're in, Vav right now, from Uzziah and down. Then come Nahum and Habakkuk together. They are in the kings after Hezekiah. Then comes Zephaniah. Zephaniah is in the days of Yoshiyahu. Zephaniah and Yoshiyahu are at the same time. There's another Nevi'ah in the days of Yoshiyahu besides Zephaniah. There's a Nevi'ah, a woman.
Devorah?
But not Devorah, it's way back. Way back. But there is a Nevi'ah at that time. There's a Nevi'ah at that time. I may as well put her down. There's a Nevi'ah at that time. Yirmiyahu is there as well, but there's another Nevi'ah. Not a very well-known Nevi'ah, and I don't know any girls named this name.
Huldah?
Huldah, right. Huldah was at this time. Right. Huldah's in the days of Yoshiyahu, as well as Zephaniah. Right. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last of the Nevi'im. And they live towards the end of the Golus Bavel and in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Those are the last three Nevi'im. Malachi, as we said, is Ezra, and they live at the end over there. So they're even past all the kings we have here. Tzidkiyahu is the last of the kings of Yehuda before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So 70 years later, after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, is when the second Beis HaMikdash is built. And that's where you have Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi at the end, as the last of the Nevi'im. So they go much later than these other Nevi'im. There's a big break between Zephaniah and Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi.
What about Nehemiah?
Nehemiah is at the same time as Ezra.
Right.
But he's not one of the Treyasar. He's not one of the Treyasar. We learned Ezra and Nehemiah.
Right.
So Nehemiah is not one of the Treyasar. Why is that one of the Treyasar?
Where
we have a separate book. Ezra,
Mordechai. And at the same time as Mordechai also?
Okay, I'll talk about Mordechai. Mordechai lives a very long life. We'll talk about Mordechai in a minute. So that's we'll do that. I figured with Purim coming up, so and this is our last class before Purim, and it's Adam's Rosh Chodesh Adar, so we'll talk a little bit about where Mordechai fits. We'll give us more of a perspective when it comes to the Purim story. But Nehemiah is a descendant of the kings of Yechaniah. He's actually the son of Yechaniah. Is Nehemiah? He's the son of Yechaniah. Remember, Tzidkiyahu is Yechaniah's uncle. So Nehemiah is Yechaniah's son. He's born in Bavel, which is why Nehemiah gets another name called. What name has Bavel in it?
Zerubbabel.
As you say in Moe's Tzur, Kate's Bavel, Zerubbabel. Not like we sing it, Zerubbabel, but it's Zerubbabel, it's one word. Zerubbabel means planted or grown in Bavel. That's where it comes from. Because he was born, he was conceived and born in Bavel. Because Yechaniah was taken in chains to Bavel and put in a pit in the ground. And he lived there for a long, long time, many years, decades. He was in the ground. And Yechaniah was a Rasha, so don't... but he was a Rasha. And Zerubbabel is conceived there and is born in Bavel. And his other name is Nehemiah. He would have been the king had we had kings in Bayis Sheni, in the second Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have kings in the second Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have sovereignty in the second Beis HaMikdash. But he would have been the king had there been sovereignty. So he goes along with, obviously, with Ezra. If you want to break it down, when we learned Ezra and Nehemiah, we talked about this. Ezra is responsible for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Nehemiah is responsible for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Nehemiah is with Ezra for the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, but Ezra is the driving force. Later, 20 years later really, it is Nehemiah who's the driving force to rebuild Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is decimated and it needs a lot of work, and he's the one who gets that done. So that's the very end of the Nevi'im, the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's where they fit. He's in the end. Now, Mordechai. Let's just, we talked about this several times. Let's just review this. we've mentioned several times, that Yechonya is taken into Golus, to Bavel, 11 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar comes, and after conquering Eretz several times, conquers Yechonya and takes him into Golus, along with HaCheresh VeHamasker, along with the leadership of the Jewish people. He takes the Nevi'im, he takes the leaders of the Jewish people into Golus. That's 11 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And he puts Tzidkiyahu in charge as the king. The Gemara tells us, in the days of Yechonya, Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people because Yechonya was such a rasha, but the generation were tzaddikim, so he did not destroy the Jewish people. The Gemara tells us, in the days of Tzidkiyahu, Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people because the people were rishayim, but because Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik, he did not do so. Just to show you the contrast. In Yechonya's day, the people were good, but Yechonya was bad. In Tzidkiyahu's day, Tzidkiyahu was good, but the people were bad. 11 years after Tzidkiyahu took the helm, then Nebuchadnezzar came back and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash.
So the Megillah starts.
The Megillah doesn't start there.
But it mentions Yechonya.
Yeah. Not there. The Megillah starts a number of years later, but it does have to do with the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, when we are introduced to Mordechai in the Megillah, so we say, Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan HaBira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yor Ben Kish Ben Shimi Ish Yemini. That's what we say. So we're introduced to Mordechai, and we all say that pasuk together. Then, the one reading the Megillah switches from the festive tune of the Megillah into the Eicha tune, a sad tune, and he says the pasuk of Asher Haglam Yerushalayim, that Mordechai was taken into Galus from Yerushalayim, Im HaGola Asher Haglisa, with the Galus that was taken, Im Yechonya Melech Yehuda, with Yechonya Melech Yehuda.
That's what's
mentioned. Right. That he was taken with Yechonya. Mordechai was taken with Yechonya. Mordechai did not witness the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash because he was taken into Galus with Yechonya. We say that in Megillas Esther. Because Mordechai was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. Along with Yechezkel, who was also taken at that time with Yechonya. Yechezkel and Mordechai are taken at the same time. I only put a line down here because Mordechai lives much longer. But Yechezkel and Mordechai really are at the same time. They are taken into Golus with Yechonya, Melech Yehuda. Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, as it says, that, and the pasuk ends off, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, took them into Golus. At that time, also Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are also taken into Golus at that time. They're much younger, but they're taken as well into Golus at that time with Yechonya, the king of Yehuda. That's what we mean when we say that in the Megillah. So right after the pasuk of Ish Yehudi that we're all going to read together, pay attention to the next pasuk, and that's the Golus Yechonya, 11 years prior to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And that's where Mordechai is dragged to Bavel. Now Mordechai lives a very long time. Mordechai lives all the way till the Purim story. So he lives till the Purim story. He's not a young man at this point with Yechonya, meaning, when I say he's not a young man, he's not 10 years old. He's one of the leaders of the Jewish people. That's why he was taken at that time. And yet, he's still there more than 60 years later for the Purim story. And that's where you find Mordechai with Esther. And Mordechai, obviously, is the leader of the Jewish people at that time. And he's a driving force in the whole story over there. Mordechai is Esther's uncle, and he raises her. He takes care of her. At that age, he raises Esther because Esther's parents are no longer living. Now, there is a startling Gemara in Menachos. There's a startling Gemara. The Mishnah says that there was a point in time after the Hanukkah story. The Hanukkah story takes place roughly right smack in the middle of the 420 years of the second Beis HaMikdash. And after the Hanukkah story, so we're talking now 300 years after the second Beis HaMikdash is built, there was a battle between two of the Hashmonai kings. The Hashmonai, remember, they took the kingship for themselves, which was a mistake. They should not have done that. And two of the kings have a battle with each other. And during this battle, because of the battle, the area in and around Yerushalayim was ravaged, because one of the brothers, it's two brothers who are having a civil war, and one of the brothers was inside Yerushalayim, and the other brother was outside Yerushalayim, laying siege to Yerushalayim. And because of that, everything is destroyed in and around Yerushalayim. And therefore, when it came Pesach time, and they needed to get barley for the Karban, which Karban on Pesach needs barley? For the Omer Karban, they didn't have any barley fields near Yerushalayim that had barley, that were fertile. They didn't have anything. And a little while later, 2 months later, less than 2 months later, when they needed to find wheat for the special Karban of Shavuos, what's the special Karban of Shavuos? Well, that's true, we do bring Bikurim, but the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves, the special ones for Shavuos, there was no wheat to be found near Yerushalayim. So they needed to find barley and wheat, barley Pesach time, wheat Shavuos time. And no one knew, they made an announcement, anybody know where we can find fresh, because you need fresh for this, you need fresh barley, fresh wheat. They had flour that had been from previous years, but they didn't have any fresh barley or fresh wheat. So does anybody know where we can find fresh barley or fresh wheat? In both instances, there was a man there, it may have been the same man, who was mute. He was able to hear, but he was mute. And he knew where to find barley in the first time, in Pesach time, and he knew where to find wheat. That would be Shavuos time. And what he did is he made signs. He touched different things, different objects, to try to convey where they were. Nobody understood him. The Gemara says Mordechai interpreted what he was saying both times. There's actually a third story over there also that Mordechai interpreted. That he interpreted it. He figured out what the man was trying to say, and they figured out where they could find barley. It was a distance away from Yerushalayim, and where they could find wheat, which is also a distance away from Yerushalayim, but it was because Mordechai interpreted his signs. Rashi there in the Gemara says, Mordechai shahaya bimei Achashverosh. The Mordechai of the days of Achashverosh. So according to Rashi, not 600 years old. According to Rashi, that would make him roughly 400 years old, between 300 and 400, somewhere in there. That's what would make Mordechai. So according to Rashi, Mordechai lived a very long time. A very long time. That's Rashi's interpretation. Tosfos says that is astonishing to say that Mordechai should have lived that long. Therefore, Tosfos has a different interpretation, and Tosfos says that the Gemara, when it says Mordechai, it talks about being Mordechai who was in charge of the karbanos of the birds. There was always someone in charge. The bird karbanos is a very complicated halacha. There's a whole masechta called kinim. Kinim means nests, and it's a very complicated set of mishnayos. The rules of the karbanos of birds is very complicated. It's complex. So they needed someone, besides being a big Talmud Chacham, a great Torah scholar, but it had to be a very wise person in order to be able to navigate the whole complexity of the birds. And it says in the Mishnah, Mordechai was in charge of that, of those karbanos. So according to Tosfos says, it wasn't the same Mordechai. But Tosfos says, since we find in the Megillah that Mordechai was such a wise, intelligent person and was able to navigate complexity, as you see in the Megillah, therefore they gave the title Mordechai to the person who was in charge of the birds. So when it says in the Gemara that Mordechai interpreted it, it doesn't mean the Mordechai of the Megillah, it means someone with the title Mordechai that appeared at that time, that lived at that time. That's the way Tosus explains it. So according to Tosus, Mordechai did not live that long. But Rashi's a heavy hitter. That's a very significant thing that Rashi says that Mordechai lived that long. It's astonishing that he didn't. Tosus says it's astonishing. But just to be aware that Mordechai, who lived, he was there in the first Beis HaMikdash. He was around in the first Beis HaMikdash before it was destroyed. He was taken into Golos 11 years prior to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. He lived through the entire Golos Bavel, all of the 70 years of Bavel. Then, according to this, he would have come back to Yerushalayim, witnessed the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and that he was there many years later, several hundred years later, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, actually already towards the latter half of the second Beis HaMikdash, post the Hanukkah story. That's what that would yield if you go with what Rashi says. So that's just to give us a perspective on Mordechai and where to place him. He really spans a great deal of time. Even if you don't want to say what Rashi says, it's still a great deal of time because he's there from the beginning, from the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, throughout the Golos of Bavel, and he's there for the Purim story. So Mordechai is a fixture in what is happening in these stories. Any questions on that?
Do we know what the marriage was for him to live so long?
I could be the Purim story. I don't know. I don't know what the Purim story. Okay, so that's what we have over here. Any other questions on this general chart?
Where would we find that printed?
Yeah. So I mean, there are various lists you can get.
So why are they in this order if it's not...
That's really a good question. I don't have an answer to that. Okay. Hopefully when we learn Trei Asar, it's Hashem, I will have some answers for that. But right now, I don't have an answer. I mean, it could be... it's not in size, although Hosea is bigger. Hosea and Zechariah are the biggest two of the Trei Asar. So it could be, it has to do with Hosea being the biggest, but I'm not sure. Okay. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know. The end, the last part is in chronological order.
Right.
So the question is why the first one isn't exactly in chronological order. It's a good question. I don't know the answer.
Did any of the prophets live also very long lives or a bit beyond what we would imagine?
Well, I mean, we already said that Hosea and Yeshayahu, they span all these kings, so they live a long time, but not necessarily that long. Right. Tell you one more, just because we have another comment, I'll just tell you one more tidbit about Mordechai to be aware of, which is that the Gemara tells us that there was a nes that took place. You know, Mordechai had to raise his niece, Esther, and she had no parents. So the Gemara says that Mordechai was able to nurse Esther. That Mordechai was able to, like a mother, like a nursing mother, be able to nurse Esther. That's what the Gemara says. So, but the Mefarshim asked the question that the Gemara does not look at a nes like that as being a very positive one. There's another story like that in the Gemara, and the Gemara says that unfortunately a nes like that had to happen. It's not considered to be something that we look at as a. It's obviously a big nes, but not something that we look at as a wonderful thing that it had to happen. So the I believe it's the Vilna Gaon, wants to explain why did this have to happen. Why couldn't Mordechai find someone else to nurse his niece? You can find a wet nurse. Why? So he explains, because since later on, Esther would be taken to the palace, and it was important that people didn't know who she was associated with, and people wouldn't realize who her family was, Hashem wanted to minimize knowledge of who she was. If Mordechai would have had to get a wet nurse for Esther, then that already would have publicized that there is this niece living with Mordechai. And by not having to do that, therefore it was kept quiet, and it was less well known that Esther was in Mordechai's house. So therefore there was a niece that Mordechai was able to nurse Esther when she was a baby. Okay, we'll stop here. For those of you who do catch up online with this class,
And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.